work session on Senate Bill 5581. First, I want to thank LFO and you, Sue, for working. So you've got a million deadlines you're trying to meet right now, and this has been but one. So if certain parts of this sound a little rough to you guys, we will be working through them, okay? Mr. Bignot needs to know, as I've told him already, that he's out of the department, so he's prepared for that already. What we'll do here is we'll go through, I'll ask LFO to lead us through this. We'll be taking several votes so that people know ahead of time when we'll be on the recommendations as far as their budget concern. It'll be a recommendation as far as their policy packages. We'll be doing a vote also on the performance measures, which we'll have to do some work on as we go through here. And we'll have a discussion of a budget note also. So it'll take a little bit of time to get through this, but we'll walk through it together, and I think we'll do well. So could you take it for us, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the subcommittee. I distributed to your offices earlier the packet of information, but if you weren't able to bring that with you, there are additional packets at your places here at the table. There's a memo in your packet as well as the Orbit spreadsheet, a performance measure report, which we will go over as the chair mentioned, and then in support of the discussion on performance measures, I also distributed to you copies of memos from the director of the department. These memos were actually distributed to you earlier, but in case you misplaced them, I provided additional copies for you. So I'm just going to start with the memo and walk you through that. The beginning of the memo is just a summary of the agency's budget. It has a table in there with some historical data as well as the LFO recommended budget. I'll start out by pointing out that the governor's budget for 0507 for this agency is $17.8 million total funds, and this is about a 16.2% increase over the 0305 legislatively approved budget. That's primarily due to a number of policy packages in the governor's budget. The increase in general fund in the governor's budget is about 18.3% over 0305, 3.7% in other funds, and 14.9% in federal funds. If you look at the table, you'll see that the LFO recommended budget for the agency is $16.6 million total funds. This is about a 7.1% decrease from the governor's budget. That's primarily due to eliminating a number of packages in order to carry out the Senate budget plan. And on the other hand, the Senate budget plan does add some general fund resources for ballot measure 37 activities. And as you know, DLCD is the lead agency for addressing compensation claims filed under that measure. And the claims filed to date have been significant. I'm told that from the time they were before you earlier and stating that they were receiving about 67 claims per month, they are now up to about 90 claims per month. And the claims continue to be complex, and they do have a statutory deadline for responding to the claims, and this has resulted in a significant strain on the agency's resources, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The LFO recommended budget is about a 7.9% increase over 0305. General fund is increased by 12.7%, with the major cost driver being the addition of an $800,000 general fund package to address Measure 37 activities, and this is in line with the Senate budget plan for the agency. I would point out that without this increase, the agency's general fund budget is only about 1% higher than 9901 and 0103 levels. So you can see that without that policy package added for Measure 37, their general fund budget has increased hardly at all over the last several biennia. I will now direct your attention to the second page, which shows you similar tables for the different budgetary program units within the department. They have three. There's the planning program unit, grants, and landowner notification. And you'll see under each of those tables, I'm directing your attention to the Orbit spreadsheet so that we can go through the detailed budget adjustments to get you from the governor's recommended budget to the LFO recommended budget. So if you will turn to page 4 in the Orbit spreadsheet, you will see at the top of that spreadsheet a summary of the governor's budget. It's about a third of the way down the page. The 0507 governor's printed budget for the planning program is $8 million general fund, about $1 million other funds, and $4.8 million federal funds for a total of $13.7 million total funds, 64 positions, and 61.44 FTE. Package 090 is a package that would reduce the agency's mineral aggregate position by 0.25 FTE. It currently is a 0.83 FTE, and this package would reduce it down to 0.5 FTE, and that's primarily due to discontinuance of funding from ODOT. So this would reduce the budget by $35,625 other funds. And that package also reduces the agency's budget for some presumed smart buy savings, and that's the general fund, or primarily that's the general fund reduction that you see, and as well as the federal funds reduction. The LFO recommendation on that budget is that you approve the package with a small adjustment for the PERS rate reduction from 15.52% to 14.63%. And that actually adds back a little general fund to that package and some other funds to that package for a total package of $7,716 general fund, $35,408 other funds, $2,590 federal funds for a total of $45,714 and a reduction of the FTE by 0.25. Package 101 is called the Management Accountability Package. This would add a permanent deputy director to the agency to oversee and manage internal issues such as budgeting and personnel and day-to-day operations. And this is in part to allow the director to focus on external stakeholders' needs, as well as providing some management accountability for the agency. This package is not in the Senate plan for the agency. So the LFO recommendation is that you do not approve the package, and this would reduce the governor's budget by $119,660 general fund and $39,721 federal funds, a total of $159,381. One position and one FTE would also be eliminated. Package 102, for some reason this heading printed out, but this is not in the governor's budget, so please just ignore that at the bottom of the page. If you turn to page 5 of 11 at the top, you'll see package 103. That's entitled the 30-year land use review package. This would add funding for three limited duration positions and consultants and other services and supplies to accomplish the first two phases of a comprehensive review of the state's land use system. As with the earlier package 101, this is not in the Senate budget plan for this agency, so the LFO recommendation is to not approve the package. This reduces the budget by $859,823 general fund, three positions, and three FTE. Package 104 is the Information Technology Capacity Development Package. This would add funding for two permanent information systems positions and equipment to increase system security at the agency, plan and manage information services, improve customer service, and provide infrastructure for the comprehensive review of the land use system. As with 101 and 103, this package is not in the Senate plan, so the LFO recommendation is to not approve the package. This reduces the governor's budget by $375,939 general fund, two positions, and two FTE. Package 107 is the Coastal Atlas package. This is simply a reallocation of federal funds expenditure limitation between budget categories to allow the agency to pay for a permanent information specialist position to continue the development and implementation of the Coastal Atlas Geographic Information System. LFO's recommendation is that you approve this package but modify it for the PERS rate reduction. That actual adjustment doesn't show up on the Orbit spreadsheet, but it is in the detail of the budget. It would reduce the personal services cost by about $816. So the recommendation is that you approve that package as presented here, and that would add one position and a full-time equivalent. And Senator Shields, we are page 5 of 11. Package 108 is the Coastal Projects Coordinator. This would reallocate federal Coastal Zone Management Act funds to support a natural resource specialist position entirely with federal funding, thereby eliminating general fund support for this position. LFO is recommending that you approve this package, but adjust it for the PERS rate reduction. So you can see that the adjusted package is a reduction of $85,360. Package 109 is the TGM, Transportation and Growth Management, budget reconciliation. This package would add other funds expenditure limitation to allow for increased reimbursement from ODOT for TGM activities, and LFO's recommendation is that you approve this package. Package 110 is the Flood Hazard Map Modernization Package. This increases federal funds expenditure limitation for 4 permanent positions to improve the quality of flood hazard information, and this uses funding from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. LFO's recommendation is that you approve the package as adjusted for the PERS rate reduction and also as aligned to the available federal revenues. The agency has received an update on what's actually available, and it's not as much as what was anticipated when the governor's budget was developed. So this would also adjust the package to a lower position count and FTE count. So the total package that's recommended is $240,000 federal funds, 3 positions, and 2.5 FTE. I'm also recommending that you approve those positions as limited duration. Package 801 is entitled LFO Analyst Adjustments. These are various adjustments, including the PERS rate reduction adjustment, the AG hourly rate decrease, and this package would also align their federal funds expenditure limitation to available revenues. So the total recommended package is a reduction of $37,311 in general fund, reduction of $4,260 other funds limitation, and a reduction of $116,403 federal funds limitation for a total of $157,974. Package 811 is entitled Special Budget Committee Adjustments 1. This simply adds general fund to recognize that the November 2004 Emergency Board provided funding to the agency to support its 2003-05 base budget. That funding was not, because of timing issues, that funding was not built into the governor's budget, but it does need to be carried forward into the 2005-07 base budget. So the recommendation is to approve the package for $56,298 general fund. And the final package for the planning program is package 812. It's entitled Special Budget Committee Adjustments 2. This is according to the Senate budget plan and would add general fund resources for 4 limited duration positions to address Measure 37 claims for compensation. And that would be $800,000 general fund, again, 4 positions and 4 FTE. They would be limited duration. And LFO's recommendation is to approve the package.
Thank you. Can we stop here for a quick discussion?
We certainly can.
You've gone a long ways here. I appreciate it. First, I want the agency to know that we have full confidence in your ability to take care of your mission, despite what you might be hearing right now. You guys are doing a good job, Your challenge before ballot measure 37 was significant. It is now overwhelming. We do appreciate that. Appreciate also, this is not, I would expect this is not your final budget. This is one budget that's being offered. There will be discussions about this with other people in this building. And I think you'll even find some discussion occurring in this committee, which may not be all the same voice. Having said that, I'd like to point out a couple things real quickly. Mm-hmm. The package 103, which is what we're commonly calling the big look, I see this package as one of policy more than politics. And there's a real question in my mind and in several other people's minds, well, that with the passage of ballot measure 37, that this is the right time to be doing this project. It needs to be done. But I'm not certain that right now in this budget cycle is the right time. 2 years now, we're back in session. Assuming we ever leave session. 2 years now, we're back in session. We'll have a better idea, I hope, by then of what 37 looks like. And this HC is the one that's going to tell us what it does look like. And it would seem to me a lot more appropriate to start the big look at that point when you have a better idea of what you're really looking at. I'm not sure how the governor feels about that, but I'm hearing more and more people coming to me quietly and saying, you know, I'm not so sure about this right now. And I think everyone's kind of scared to say anything. But I'm going to say publicly here that I think this is the wrong time for the big look. I think we should delay this a couple of years. You're going to have your hands full, and more than full, with ballot measure 37. I'd like to see you focus on that. That's just my opinion on it. And that's a policy decision, I think, not a political decision. I don't know how others in this committee feel, but I'd like to hear what their thoughts are.
I thought this first time your budget presentation came to us, kind of the same thing. I mean, gosh, we're in such a world of flux. How do you take a big look at the whole agency and everything in the history of Senate Bill 100, you know, when this has happened? So glad to hear what you're thinking.
Senator Nelson?
Well, I just appreciate the work of the chair of this committee. I also appreciate the work of the co-chair, Senator Schrader, and the things that works he's done. You know, I just had a major problem with the entire Senate budget, even though I was, I guess, part of the group that sat down and said, okay, what we're supposed to do. Our charge during that thing was to think that, you know, don't consider all these other things, just slash and burn things like this. But, you know, I guess I'm going to have to be opposed to this because I have some of the concerns I think that the chair expressed that, is this really the right thing to be doing at this time? You know, parts of it I agree with and parts of it I don't agree with. So if we're going to do it, I'm going to have to say no to everything and just go on in that direction.
And I appreciate that, Senator. I think what I'm hearing is that you have a strong reservation about 103 as policy, and you would probably in the end support not doing that now. If you have other reservations about policy packages that are being denied, that you would probably go a different direction on if you had a choice.
That's probably pretty close. And even the policy issue, I mean, you got to start someplace with these things. And even though that there's that particular amount involved, I mean, it's this Measure 37 and the land use issues they're not going away. I mean, we could be involved with Measure 37 for years and years. And so do we delay this 30-year look and for 10 more years, or when do we do it? So,
I'm suggesting only 2 years.
Yeah, you're asking a rhetorical question. I never thought about delaying it any more than a couple years.
I think we better make that.
Because a lot of dust will settle in the next 2 years around 37.
Well, potentially you have court actions out there that may take longer than, I mean, and I just got a letter from one of my real estate guys in Pelton who was a strong supporter of Measure 37, but he sent me a list saying, well, we need about these 15 questions answered before we can proceed. What do you want us to do? You know, legislate something so we can change everything. So I'm thinking, I'm really confused about this whole thing. I'm getting mixed messages from a lot of different directions.
I think, Senator Nelson, that we all are, and that's why I would recommend a 2-year delay, not a 10-year delay. This will be a 2-year delay. We've got Senate Bill 1037 coming out. It may well go to the House. It may well have massive changes on it there and come back to us. Let's see the results of that if it ever makes the law. We'll see what some of the courts say. You're ready to send out some of your first decisions on 37. They'll be going out fairly quickly. We got all kinds of things. I think we'll have a better picture in 2 years, but not a complete picture. So from my point of view, it's a policy decision on 103, and I would ask for a delay on that. But at this particular budget, at this particular time, we're denying this, along with the other issues. The other issues being ones which will be debated rather quickly, I think, in the next few weeks. You want to continue then? Do we need a vote at this point?
Mr. Chair, you can do it now, or you can wait until I go through the entire budget and give you the recommended bill amendments.
Why don't
we
do that?
Choice. Okay.
Why don't we do
the latter. Okay.
Particularly, though, if we do it on block, then Senator Nelson would have to vote against everything. Don't you want to do it like in packages where he can get unanimous on some?
We're gonna vote on financial aspect of this in block if possible. Then we'll do performance measures separately, budget notes separately, and then the final vote on the entire bill. Would you prefer looking at each package separately?
No, why don't we just do them all, and I'll just do a no vote because you know I have confusions on both sides, and I'm conflicted, and there's ironies here, and so
my guess is on performance measures and budget notes, we're all going to be the same page or close to it, and final motion you'll have to make up your own mind. Okay. Senator Shields, is that okay?
That's fine. I have seen places where somebody would vote for package 101 and 102 and against package 103 and then yes on 104.
Yeah, I mean,
and
potentially I could, but I think in this circumstance I'm interested in the direction the chair would like to go and things. Wow. I'm comfortable with doing that.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a lot more work on this is kind of my sense.
I sense you're probably correct. All right, we'll move on then.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I just wrap up the planning program by directing your attention to page 7 of 11, where it shows you the summary of work session actions, the approval of the LFO recommendations would result in a general fund budget for this program of $7,488,217. Other funds, $901,247. Federal funds, $4,182,553, for a total of $12,572,017, 61 positions, and 57.94 FTE. This is about a 8.1% reduction from the governor's printed budget for this program. So then if you turn the page over to, or turn the document to page 8, this is the beginning of the grants program section. And again, at the top, you'll see a summary of the governor's budget, $2,109,445 general fund, $1,775,902 federal funds for a total of $3,885,347. There are no positions and no FTE in this budgetary program unit. The personnel involved with administering these grants are actually in the planning program. The package 801 is the LFO adjustment analyst adjustments package, and similar to a package in the planning program, this adjusts the federal funds expenditure limitation for updated forecasts of funds available for distribution to local governments. LFO recommends approval of the package, and this would reduce the federal funds expenditure limitation by $202,902. Package 811, similar to a package in the planning program, this would add general fund to include or to recognize the need to roll forward into the 0507 base budget the November 2004 Emergency Board action. That would add general fund to $44,418. So the total legislative fiscal office recommended budget would be $2,153,863 general fund, $1,573,000 federal funds, for a total of $3,726,863. And finally, members, if you'll turn to page... I might just add that budget would result in a 4.1% decrease from the governor's printed budget for total fund. And then if you turn to page 10, this is the final budgetary program unit. This is the landowner notification unit. The governor's budget includes $270,065 general fund, one position, and 0.5 FTE. Package 090 adjusts the budget for a small amount for expected savings under the Smart Buy program, and that reduces the general fund for the agency by $50, and LFO recommends you approve that package. Package 801 decreases the budget for the PERS rate reduction and the Attorney General hourly rate decrease, and that would reduce the general fund by $2,053. And LFO recommends that you approve that package. And package 811 is the special budget committee adjustments, number one, and that, as with the other program units, it adds general fund in recognition of the November 2004 emergency board action that should be rolled forward into the agency's 0507 base budget. That would add $6,469 general fund for a total budget of $274,481 general fund. The program would have the one position and the 0.5 FTE. And this budget is actually about a 1.6% increase over the governor's recommended budget. So then, members, if you look back to the memo on page 2, you'll see in order to implement these recommendations, the amendments, the recommended amendments to the bill are in that section, and LFO would recommend that you approve a motion to amend Senate Bill 5581, which is the bill before you today, by deleting the contents of the original bill, and that's because it is a blank appropriations bill at this point, and then adding language to appropriate general fund, establish other funds expenditure limitation, and establish federal funds expenditure limitation as follows. For the planning program, appropriate $7,488,217 general fund. For the grants program, appropriate $2,153,863 general fund. And for landowner notification, appropriate $274,481 general fund. For other funds, for the planning program, establish $901,247 other funds expenditure limitation. And then for the planning program for federal funds, establish $4,182,553 federal funds expenditure limitation. And for the grants program, establish $1,573,000 federal funds expenditure limitation.
Do we have a motion?
Sure.
Would you like to make a motion to that effect?
I'm trying to save words. So moved.
I say that, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to have a vote first.
Did she call the roll?
Do you call the roll on this one? I want you to call the roll on this, please. The motion before us is as stated by LFO, and the motion was brought forward by Senator Shields.
I'm going to vote no.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Chair Bates?
Aye. The motion carries by majority vote. Record that the vote was 2 with 1 nay. Performance measures?
Performance measures. Members, in your packet, there is a report entitled The Legislatively Adopted Performance Measures 2005-07, and of course it says Land Conservation and Development Department at the top. And also to aid our discussion today about performance measures, I've provided for you some memos, the ones I mentioned earlier, from the agency. And as we go through the performance measures, I will refer you to those memos. So
I think what I might do is occasionally stop you just to discuss one particular one, then we'll just roll through the rest of them. Is that okay? I think if you take them in block, we'll have to go back and get a little confused.
Okay.
Is that all right?
That's fine with me, Mr. Chair. What you'll see here are the performance measures, for the most part, as presented by the agency. But I will, in a bit, direct your attention to a couple that have been added. And you'll see on the right-hand side what the agency is proposing to do with their performance measures, either keep them, modify them in some way, or even delete. And what LFO is recommending is that you agree with what the agency is proposing, with a few minor exceptions in terms of which performance measures they would like to retain, which they'd like to modify, and then which they would like to delete. For performance measure 1, as well as performance measure 3, there were questions I do need to back up for a minute, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Because the as you'll recall, the numbering changed on these performance measures. So performance measure one.
That's where we want to go.
That's where you want to go right now.
This is the metro area, non-metro area situation.
Percent of urban areas with a population, you're correct, Mr. Chair, thank you, over 2,500 that have a sufficient supply of commercial and industrial land to implement their local economic development strategy. You might recall that during the agency's phase one and phase two hearings, I believe, there was a discussion about disaggregating the data behind this performance measure, and the director of the department provided to you a memo dated February 28, 2005 with some attachments, and that's one of the memos I distributed to you today. And in the attachments, you will see that they have disaggregated the data for that performance measure for you, and so the question would be whether you want them to simply continue to keep the data in internally or actually modify the performance measure to break it out into the two areas, which would be urban areas in Portland Metro and then non-metro urban areas.
The committee, first, thank you for leading us through this. We have put a huge pressure on LFO, what we're doing with splitting of ways and means. These people are trying to meet multiple deadlines. We decided to run this bill yesterday afternoon, and you've been doing a great job trying to help us get through this as well as others are doing. So if there's a little rough spots now and then, it's all accepted, okay?
Thank you very much.
The important part of this particular performance measure to me was that when you desegregated the data, it showed a significant difference across the state, that the urban area and the Portland metro area seemed to be doing or well ahead of the others as far as identifying industrial areas ready for building, and the rest of the state is still working on their plans. I think the difference there is so significant that I would like to see that not only desegregated, but reported in a desegregated manner, not something you keep inside your agency. I think it's interesting information and worthwhile for future committees to have, and I appreciate you bringing this forward and breaking that out for us. I was unaware that there was that significant difference between different parts of the state, and I think it's something we need to look at. So I appreciate them doing that.
I'm still trying to read it. Would you help me out?
No, I'm sorry. Basically, in very simple terms, if I'm reading it correctly myself, is that the data indicates the Portland metro area has a 100% or nearly 100% of their needs for the next 5 years. They report every 5 years. At this point, they're at about 100%. If you look at data from around the rest of the state, they're running in the neighborhood of 30 to 45% of having within the urban growth boundaries what they need for potential growth. And that significant difference, I think, is something we need to look at. Lane, do you want to step up here and talk to us about this for a minute? Or do you feel comfortable doing that? The amount of residential land available in the non-metro area is about 35% of what they think their goal should be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Lane Shetterly, director of the department, looking at my February 28 memorandum, we did disaggregate that information for metro and non-metro. For one thing, metro is on a different schedule than other areas of the state, which was one basis on which the disaggregation made sense. I think so what you see in the aggregated form, you show targets of 79 and 86, and then when we break that out, we see something different. What you've got there in metro is 100% for 2005. Metro updates theirs on a regular five-year schedule, and so every 5 years they're going to be at 100%. Then as that land supply is used over the next 5 years, they should be dropping lower than 100% because we want that land actually utilized, and then they catch up again every 5 years.
This didn't seem to make sense to have 100, 0, 0,
yeah.
0, 0, and 100.
They do it every 5 years.
Oh, okay.
And certainly, Mr. Chair, if we disaggregate this and report it in the future, we'll be sure to explain that with the report, because it will look odd.
Yeah. It's not hard to throw me off, Mr. Chair.
Well, I had a chance to look at this earlier. I kind of scratched my head for a moment, too, so I read below it. Oh, that's 5 years. The other ones are annual, and they're hard to match them up. But I think putting information out is significant. I appreciate it.
You know, my brain is all twisted up anyway, because after this morning's Environment and Land Use Substantive Committee, where we talked all about water for a few hours, you know, it occurs to me that it doesn't matter how much land you have for development, if you don't have the water to do it with, it doesn't amount to much. You know, it's funny how we everybody's got their compartment. I understand yours is the land, you know, but divorce them.
Lane, considering these are on two different time sequences, 1 5-year and 1 annual for the rest of the state, do you feel that if you actually got the chance to compare those numbers, they would be roughly the same, or is there a significant difference in different parts of the state?
Mr. Chair, it's for the rest of the state, it's not that it's annual. It's just that you have, I mean, that is, communities don't do it on an annual basis. And, in fact, we've got Senate Bill or House Bill 1033, I think it is, that would amend periodic review for cities and counties across the state. What you have statewide is just the other jurisdictions on our bases that are rotating in that give you different numbers every year. It's not that every jurisdiction is doing it annually. But when you take Metro out and break that out by itself, then what you see is exclusively their schedule. The rest of it is an aggregate of all of the other jurisdictions going into periodic review from time to time.
Are most of them in 5-year cycles?
No, Mr. Chair, they're not. In fact, over the last couple of sessions, the legislature has taken steps to reduce the number of jurisdictions that go into periodic review at all. And I think House Bill 3310, it's the periodic review reform, would set a schedule, I think, for Metro of 7 years, 10 years for cities over a population of 25,000 outside the metro area. I believe that's the number. And then other cities falling outside of a regular periodic schedule that would come in if there were significant state investments or other changes in the community that would necessitate an update of their periodic of their comprehensive plan.
We're opening a can of worms here at a late time in the session. I would like to see us go with what we have before us and keep that segregated, and then the next time around we may want to fine-tune that more to get a better picture of what's going on.
I'm sorry, did you say segregated or aggregated then? Because what's before you is aggregated.
Aggregated.
Okay.
Keep it the way, you know, I would do exactly what's been done here, but I would make that reportable, not inside the agency only, but also to the committee. That would probably open up the same discussion when they have more time. And maybe you'd have some recommendations by that point, too. The best way to sort of lead us through some complex issue here of what's actually available out there for residential land.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, assuming that the changes go forward in periodic review, and I have every confidence they will, they're broadly supported, 2 years will give us a chance to, I think, bring back some changes to this performance measure that reflect the on-the-ground experience with the new regimen of periodic review. So that may be just as well to wait for 2 years to change this.
The other alternative would be to send it to Joint Legislative Audit Committee and to report to them in August of next year. And that might be, and then by the time you came back into session, we'd be in a position to look at that. Would you be ready by that time, you think? I'm not pushing here.
Might
be a way to go.
Mr. Chair, I think we would be happy either way.
I knew we'd be doing this work session. We'd be doing some kind of sticky stuff here as far as performance measure concerns. I'm not surprised. LFO opinion?
Mr. Chair, it's perfectly acceptable to direct the agency to report to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee on this or any other performance measure that you would like to have them modify, or you could, as you were indicating earlier, simply have them keep the same performance measure but work towards that disaggregated data and report to the next legislature on their efforts and their progress.
Thank you. My sense is I'd much rather have a report to the audit committee on this August of 2006, if you think you can get the job done by that. So if the next committee looks at this has a little more meaningful data to look at. If you can reach that goal, you've got your hands full with 37, I realize.
Mr. Chair, that we do, I guess. That's the other indicator there. Again, we'll do whatever the committee wants. 2006, that's about a year and 3 months or so from now. I'm sure we'll have a better idea. I don't know that. Yeah, I would say we'll do it either way, and I think we can do a good job either way. It's your call, Mr. Chair.
Any members, do you have any suggestions on this?
I think that's the direction you're going is good.
Mr. Chair, would you tell me if my staff is grimacing behind me?
You may want to have a quick conference here. Are we okay with this?
What does that mean, Michael?
we're going to be asking a couple of the performance measures to go to the audit committee. And I would think we can do this at the same time.
Mr. Chair, if I could, and members, if I could just add one thing. The target date of August 1st, 2006, that agencies report to JLAC by no later than that date is so that the whatever work is done on their performance measures can be incorporated into their next annual performance progress report. So I guess one consideration would be if by that time they would be able to develop something meaningful so that when the next legislative assembly gets the progress report, it actually helps.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking too.
Teddy Leland reminds me that September is the progress board date by which we would be doing this anyway. And so if we were going to be proposing changes through the progress board, we would have those ready for September. August to JLAC, I think that's effectively the same timeline for us. So it'll
probably work for you.
Yeah, it'll work.
Committee members, if you agree, I would direct that performance measure one here, that we would not ask them to give us the metro information, nor would we ask them to give us what they've given us last time, but they'd report to JLAC August 1st of 2006 with their proposal for how to present this information to the next legislative assembly. Any objections?
Good by me.
Hearing none, let's move on. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair and committee members, performance measure two is similar in that the agency was asked to bring back disaggregated data. So I guess the question for you is, do you want to treat that one in a manner similar to what you just did with performance measure
one? I would recommend that, again, as long as the committee members don't disagree.
Yeah.
Performance measure three, the agency is proposing to maintain that same performance measure. My notes indicate that there were no particular issues with that performance measure by either the subcommittee or the co-chairs and vice chairs. Performance measure four, the agency is proposing to delete. Again, that seemed to be acceptable. Performance measure five, I would add that the report should show that the 2006 target for that performance measure should be 20, and that will be updated for this final report when it's attached to the agency's budget report. Now, this is one performance measure where the subcommittee, as well as the co-chairs and the vice chairs, had some input, and the director of the department did prepare a memo dated March 3rd. Again, this is another one of those memos I distributed to you, discussing their willingness to work with other ERT agencies and come up with a consistent measurement for economic revitalization team, if you will, activities. And this, as a result of the work on a performance measure that would be consistent for all those agencies affected, number five, as you see in the report, may or may not be retained by the agency depending on the outcome of the work with the other agencies on an ERT-related performance measure. So if you turn to the second page of this report, you'll see the second row down, there is a placeholder for agencies involved in ERT activities, and this would include DLCD, and that would be that would involve these agencies appearing before the Joint Legislative Audit Committee and getting that performance measure finalized by August 1st of 2006. So for now, I suppose what you could agree to is to retain that one as the agency has proposed to modify it, but recognize that it may not be retained ultimately.
Well, I agree. Unless I hear any objection, what we'll do here, as we go through the remainder of these, if there's an objection, please speak up. Otherwise, I'll have you just read through them, and you'll assume our silence means
okay.
we agree.
That would be
we'll
great.
Go a lot faster, okay?
Okay. Number six, the agency is proposing to delete. That seemed to be acceptable to the subcommittee and others. Number seven, there were no issues involved with that performance measure, and the agency is proposing to retain it. Likewise with performance measure eight, the next row, we just discussed that. Performance measure 9, that also was an acceptable performance measure to everyone involved in the discussions, as was performance measure number 10, number 11, number 12, and number 13. Number 14, the agency is proposing to modify, again, acceptable to all involved in the conversations. And number 15, the same, acceptable to all. The next three, 16, 17, and 18, the agency is proposing to delete, and that is acceptable to all involved. Number 19, the agency would modify, and that is acceptable. The modification is acceptable to all, as is the case with number 20. Number, well, the next one you'll see doesn't have a number. It should probably be number 21. These will be renumbered, by the way. This is the customer satisfaction performance measure that all agencies will be adopting, and so the recommendation is to approve that for the agency. So that would be added. Number 22 is the agency is proposing to delete it, and that is acceptable to all. Number 23, the agency is proposing to modify it. That is acceptable to all. The targets for that performance measure should show 95% for 2006 and 95% for 2007. And number 23A, the agency is proposing to delete, and that's acceptable. And finally, the last measure, there were discussions about having a measurement related to measure 37. The agency, in a memo dated March 3, 2005, from the director, the agency was proposing the following wording, and that would be the percentage of measure 37 claims assigned to the department that are processed and completed under the time limits specified by the Department of Administrative Services, and the target would be 100%. What LFO is recommending is that the time limits be more specified. And right now the agency has a deadline of 140 days. To turn around those claims. And so LFO is recommending that the performance measure read percentage of measure 37 claims assigned to the agency that are processed within 140 days. And I would point out that there's interest by the Senate co-chair that policy packages have some link to performance measures. So this is an instance where the policy package that you would be approving, the $800,000 general fund in the four positions for the agency to address the Measure 37 compensation claims, where there could be a link between the funding and the agency's performance. And it will be quite interesting to see how that plays out, because as you'll recall, the agency did request a supplemental policy package of about $1.5 million and about double the FTE to address these claims, which, as I pointed out earlier, at the time they put that package together, they were receiving about 67 claims per month, and now they're up to 90. So, as I say, it'll be interesting to see if they can meet that 100% target for turnaround.
Of course, there's nothing that says they can't come back to eBoard for more money for this product,
too. Correct.
Let me ask a question of the agencies for a moment. My memory of Bella Measure 37 claims, they've got 180 days to hear and adjudicate them. How long does it take most of those claims to get to you? What time they're filed?
Mr. Chair, about a month.
So you're well with the 140 and then the 30 are, for the most part, got some time there to work.
The timeline internal to the department of the 140 days was really built with the DAS rule in mind, so it accounted for that lead time on the front end for DAS to make the completeness review and provide notice to neighboring property owners, and that also accounts for the time to prepare the draft report, get it mailed out, comments back in, and then a final report issued. So we should be fine with it.
Thank you. Do we need a motion on this now?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, and LFO recommends that you approve the performance measures as you've just discussed them with your desired changes in this report entitled Legislatively Adopted Performance Measures 2005-07.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, I will assume the performance measures are acceptable to the committee.
Yes, absolutely.
So moved. Budget notes.
Okay. Mr. Chair, there were three budget notes proposed for this agency. The first budget note pertains to the distribution of general fund grants to certain counties, Multnomah, Hood River, and Wasco, and it would require the agency to distribute a total of $240,000 to these agencies for their work, these counties, for their work associated with the implementation of the National Scenic Area Act, the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act. There have been budget notes in the past directing the agency to do this. However, there was not one adopted in the 2003 session, and there's some interest in having that budget note put back in the agency's budget report this session. And the budget process still requires that there be budget note approval by both the chairs of the House and the Senate budget committees. In this case, the budget note does not have both chairs' approval, and therefore LFO is recommending that you do not include this in the budget report for DLCD. The second proposed budget note would direct the agency to appear before the emergency board to request funding and staffing resources for responding to ballot measure 37 claims should the resources provided in the Senate plan not be adequate. And this budget note also does not have both chairs' approval, and therefore LFO does not recommend inclusion of the budget note in the budget report. But as you pointed out, Mr. Chair, the agency does have the prerogative of coming before the emergency board and requesting resources if they need to for ballot measure 37 claims.
And I'm going to ask that language to that effect replace the budget narrative also, so it's in there. And just a quick comment. Despite the breakup of Ways and Means, I'm hopeful that we'll be back together someday in the near future, and that we are still honoring each other's agreements on budget notes. And for that reason, I'm not going to move any of these budget notes out other than one that has been agreed upon. This is something that I think we can continue to work with, and it's one area where at least we still have agreement on how to handle the process. Let's not break that one in this committee.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Chair and members, the third budget note does have the approval of both co-chairs, and reads as follows. The Department of Environmental Quality, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, the Department of State Lands, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Department of Land Conservation and Development, and the Water Resources Department will work with the Office of Regulatory Streamlining on one or more projects to streamline the delivery of water-related permitting programs and projects, including water-related permitting associated with removal fill projects and on permitting associated with aggregate mining activities. The agencies will report back on their plans and progress to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee no later than April 30, 2006 and December 31, 2006. To the greatest extent practical, the Office of Regulatory Streamlining will involve the co-chairs of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee or their designees in any work group activities needed to implement this budget note.
Thank you. You, Senator Shields, you expressed a concern about this budget note several times, and I want on the record that you're concerned about the possible environmental impact of this. We've been assured many times this does not have an environmental impact. This is an attempt to simplify the permitting process for this. I've been reassured that is the case, but I want on the record your concerns, and we have heard them.
And we just want to keep an eye on it.
I agree. On the other hand, when you have this many departments looking at permitting, I think it speaks for itself.
Yep.
I'm also amazed how many words are used for streamlining when we're talking about water, but I think wordsmithing here is something else. So we would entertain a motion on the budget note.
Third budget note.
So moved. Any objection? So moved.
Mr. Chair, one question, and this is just for my information. That money there in the first budget note, and we're not moving it, I understand. But is that money essential for us to meet our commitment, I mean, to keep up with Washington State, who also funds the Columbia Gorge Commission? Does this mean that we don't do that?
No, it doesn't mean we don't. We'll be looking at the Columbia Gorge budget next week. We'll have a discussion about that. This is something that will be up for further discussion between the two budget committees.
And I was just raising the issue because it's kind of confusing.
It's an excellent point. How we deal with the Columbia Gorge is going to be an interesting conversation next week over a very small amount of money, a very small budget, but we'll be talking about it for a while.
Okay. And finally, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, LFO recommends that the Subcommittee on Natural Resources move the bill, Senate Bill 5581, as amended, to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Do I hear a motion? Frank?
I'm sorry.
There's not many of us here today. I can't exactly get a motion of Senator Nelson for this one. Can we hear a motion for a Subcommittee of Natural Resources to move Senate Bill 5581 as amended to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass as amended recommendation?
You got it, most honorable chairman.
Thank you. we'll have a roll call vote this year.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes by a majority vote, 2-1, and I will carry this to unfold. Thank you, committee. The hearing is closed, and I appreciate the work by everybody. I want to reassure the agency this is not your final budget. There's lots of discussions going to occur before we're through with this. Okay? You're doing a great job. Don't take this as anything personal, except for not.
Except
I
for
want,
all.
I want him to take
except
it
for
personally.
All.